Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over. It's over.
Here's a chance. That goal. Shot rebound. Score. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Tall Can Sports number 303 on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. Matt Robinson along with you. Hope you're having yourselves a great start to the week. We got a couple things to get to. Before we do, of course, you can give us a follow on social media, both on Twitter and on Instagram at Tall Can Audio. We're at facebook.com/TallCanAudio if you want to give us a like over there. One of the things that we haven't brought up too much lately, but that bears repeating, one of the best ways you can help the show, if you haven't done so yet, is to leave a little rating and a review on iTunes or wherever you happen to be listening to your podcast. Goes a long way to helping us, you know, just stay visible in the rankings and, you know, in the searches and things like that. So if you wanted to do that, that would really help us out. We'd really appreciate it. In the meantime, we got a couple of things to get to here. I'm going to be joined in just a couple of minutes by my pal David Foote. David's been on the show a few times before. Anyway, it's been a little while, though. For those of you who don't recall, David works for CJBQ down in Belleville, and he's a member of the Belleville Senators broadcast team. So he's had an up-close kind of look at the lower levels of this teardown of the Senators organization. And there's been an influx now of new talent, new young prospects that have spent considerable time in Belleville. And we're not going to focus just on that, but we will touch on it a little bit. But basically, I brought David on, and we just kind of took a quick spin around the NHL on the day after the National Hockey League's trade deadline. Who won, who lost, who surprised, who made the big moves. And we don't spend too much time going too in-depth on any one move, but we just kind of, you know, bounced around a little bit and recapped a little bit of what happened and what we thought of it. So really excited to have David back on the show, and we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. You can follow David on social media at Footy on the Air, F-O-O-T-Y on the Air. So definitely recommend you give him a follow. Before we get to that, there is video circulating on Twitter today. And it is a gift from the gods. I can't get enough of this thing. It's equal parts hilarious, cringeworthy. At first, it's difficult to watch. And I know a lot of you are thinking of a certain video that came out on Saturday night. No, it's not that video. There's no kitty litter involved. So don't be too worried. This is a video, a teaser, put out by a television station from Long Island. And John Tavares will return to the island for the first time on Thursday. He's, of course, a member of God's team in the NHL, the Toronto Maple Leafs. And so he will be playing his first game back on Long Island. Most people are expecting that to not be a particularly welcoming environment. I think there's obviously going to be lots of booing and lots of venom and all kinds of stuff like that that gets directed at most returning superstars when they return after walking away from the team that drafted them. We've seen it with LeBron. We've seen it with Vince Carter, right? Across all sports, you see this sort of thing. It's not that big of a deal. However, many Islanders fans, not all of them, many Islanders fans are having a hard time letting this go. They have taken to calling him things like a snake, Pajama Boy, which is one of my favorites because there is no sign in the photos that they're referring to of him in Maple Leaf pajamas, but that seems to be irrelevant. And things have just generally gotten a little ugly as it pertains to John Tavares on Long Island. And that's fine. Sports fans are irrational. All of us are to different degrees. But this has gotten a little stupid. The video was put out by a TV station who has apparently got a much bigger project like this that they're getting ready to unveil as the game grows closer and closer to being upon them. And it's a number of fans voicing their emotional, or supposed to be emotional, messages to John Tavares as he gets ready to come home. I can't imagine he's ever going to see this fucking thing. I hope he does. It's fucking hilarious. I'm going to play it through once for you, and then there's a good chance we're going to go back and unpack this a little bit. But here is the audio from this video that's circulating on Twitter and getting just roasted by not just Toronto fans, but lots of Islanders fans and hockey fans from all over the league. Take a listen.
For 9 years, you were part of the New York Islanders, and many of those years, you were the captain.
You were seen as the face of the franchise, the savior. You were the chosen one.
We looked up to you. Kids looked up to you.
You were not just only the Islanders' captain. You were the fans' captain, too.
We thought you were a class act, but looks like it was just all an act.
Do you remember saying that you loved Long Island?
I've always stayed at home, which I love it here.
Do you remember saying how great players stay with their team their whole careers and how you wanted to do the same?
This is obviously where I hope to be, and I've always stated that.
You went from being the captain, the savior, the chosen one, to a lying
traitor,
snake, pajama boy.
Oh, you're a snake, pajama boy. Oh my goodness, the emotional music in the background, the fighting back of tears, the fake outrage, the people forgetting their lines is part of it. This thing is a debacle in every sense of the word. This is clearly rehearsed, or should have been rehearsed a little bit more, pre-written, just terrible. Fucking terrible. And there are, you know, especially at the very beginning, like I said, I'm going to play a little of this back, kind of piece by piece. People who seem like they've just been grabbed off the street and asked to read something, because the first little bit of it especially kind of sounds like, I couldn't possibly care less about this. I'm just speeding through it. I just want to get through this. You've got the over the top, you know, fighting back of tears, I guess. I don't know. Give this another listen here.
For 9 years, you were part of the New York Islanders, and many of those years, you were the captain.
See, that's the guy. You were a member of our team, and then you were the captain. Like, okay. This guy doesn't fucking care at all, clearly.
You were seen as the face of the franchise, the savior. You were the chosen one.
Ah, biblical and religious references. That's always a good thing to place on athletes. Athletes never let you down. They never end up in horrible news situations or sexual scandals or anything like that. You should always paint athletes as, you know, something to be placed on the same level as religious figures.
We looked up to you. Kids looked up to you.
Won't somebody think of the children? She's my favorite. I'm sure, like, there are various parts of this that, but she is my favorite. We looked up to you. The children looked up to you. Come on. Give me a break. Like, this is some of the most over-the-top, terrible. Like, you can tell she's trying to get that outrage in her voice, but it just sounds so, rehearsed.
We looked up to you. Kids looked up to you.
Kids! The kids, John! Please think of the children.
You were not just only the Islanders' captain. You were the fans' captain, too.
We thought you were.
You were our captain. The captain of the fans.
We thought you were a class act, but looks like it was just all an act.
Okay, so I see what this guy's going for. He's trying to play off of, you know, class act, and this was all just an act, but it's his delivery, right? Because this is the problem when you don't just let people talk, when you actually prepare lines for them and ask them to rehearse them back. He can't deliver his line properly. He's looking for something along the lines of, we thought you were a class act, but it turned out it was just all an act. And, you know, it's sort of this tough, almost rhyming scheme, rhythm that they're looking for, but it just doesn't really fit. And his delivery is even worse.
We thought you were a class act, but looks like it was just all an act.
But it was just all an act. Oh, John, how could you do this to me?
Do you remember saying that you loved Long Island?
I've always stayed at home, which I love it here.
Do you remember saying how great players stay with their team their whole careers and how you wanted to do the same?
This is obviously where I hope to be, and I've always stated that.
Okay, this is probably the weirdest part of this whole thing for me. Well, there's a lot of weird parts of this. These things that she's asking him, and they've got these video clips of him that they show up, they were probably true. He probably did love it on Long Island. That's where she starts. You remember saying you loved... He probably did. And even the fact that he came home to Toronto doesn't necessarily change that. Even if you look around and ignore everything that was happening with the rest of the team, it's New York. He probably did genuinely love New York. I loved Las Vegas when I went. I loved the Bahamas when I went. At some point, you still want to go home. Like, come on. And then, of course, the second part of this is... Do you remember saying that great players spend their entire careers with one team? He probably did envision that. But this is the thing. There is no talk of management. There is no talk of ownership. The building you're playing out of is condemned. The one you tried to move to couldn't fit a hockey rink in it properly. You had the fucking clock over one end, and the other end where you would sit, you couldn't even see the... zone that you were like the seats hung over one zone so much that you couldn't even see one of the nets. Like, it was never gonna work, but it's on him. No matter what he said, I've envisioned myself staying here. Does that mean no matter how bad the team is mismanaged, does that mean no matter how much this sucks, how no one ever gets him a goalie, no one ever gets him a couple of line mates or a decent team to play around him, he should just stay forever? Would you? In a shitty job, if you had the option to go to a better one, you would just stay, blindly following and believing that it was going to get better. Come on.
You went from being the captain.
This guy can't even remember his fucking lines. You went from being the captain. This long fucking pause. This guy has no idea what he's trying to say. He's trying to remember what was given to him, what he rehearsed.
You went from being
line
the captain.
Yeah,
the
there you
savior,
go, buddy.
The chosen one. To a lying...
traitor.
Snake. Pajama boy.
Come on. I love it. A lying... You're a traitor. You're a snake. Pajama boy. And that the end of this, right? Pajama boy. Give me a break. We spent this whole video talking about how you said you loved us and how hurt we are. We've got people crying. You let the children down. And then it's got this, like... chirp that a 9-year-old would give at the end. We turn from being sad and missing John, and what the music playing in the background is like a funeral, but at the end you still got to get in this little pajama boy. And for those who aren't aware, and I can't imagine any of you are still listening who aren't, when John Tavares signed in Toronto, he put a picture out on his Twitter saying, "I'm going home to live a childhood dream." And this picture is of him in his room as a child in maple leaf bed sheets and, you know, whatever. But there's no sign of maple leaf pajamas anywhere. And somehow this one person on Twitter decided, pajama boy, that's funny. Fuck you and your leaf pajamas. There are no leaf pajamas. But pajama boy, for some reason, is the thing that has started on Long Island. You will not find a picture of John Tavares in maple leaf pajamas. I hope Thursday you find it. What would be awesome is if he came out for his post-game press conference in maple leaf pajamas. I would lose my shit if he showed up to the arena in Toronto Maple Leafs pajamas. And he's not going to, because he's a class act and all this shit. Or, we thought he was a class act, but it was just an act. I guess I'm falling for the act. But he should absolutely roast the organization on his way out. This is a team that, as I said, has been so horribly mismanaged, okay? No one's blaming the ownership. No, look, I don't have a problem at all if you want to boo John Tavares when he comes back to New York. People still boo Vince Carter when he comes back. For some reason, people boo Phil Kessel. He never wanted to leave. He was traded, but sports fans boo athletes, especially ones that are just making the return. That's fine, okay? But... to be this over the top with it. They're still roasting him on Twitter. They're chanting angry things about him. JT sucks. At home games that he's not there for. Toronto isn't the opponent. I watched a game earlier this season, and this has happened more than once, but I'm watching an Islanders game on a Sunday afternoon against Carolina because it matters to me in my fantasy pool, and they're chanting JT sucks. You're clearly hung up on this. It's like a terrible breakup, but you're stuck still scanning your ex's Facebook profile or something. It's just, honest to God, man, I wish that he would come out and say, hey, you know what? If they had found me a line mate, if they had found me an arena to play in, maybe I'd still be here. But none of that shit happened. Here's the thing about Islanders fans that you really got to know. They're angry and they're all over this and whatever. Their team, from out of nowhere, is in first place in their division this year. No one saw that coming, okay? And believe me, they won't be in first place next year. There are all kinds of statistical things going on here that suggest this is a fucking fluke, and bet on it that they will not be a playoff team next year. But right now, this super loyal fan base that is all over John Tavares, how could you do this? They're such hardcore fans. Your team is in first place in your division right now and has the lowest attendance in that division. What are you doing? Where's your loyalty? Why aren't you out at your condemned fucking arena? Why aren't you just all over this great story, top of the division, going to the playoffs team, backing them all the way? No, you're sitting at home because the team and the franchise is going nowhere. Everyone knows this is a fluke, but you'll all show up on Thursday and you'll all boo and yell at John Tavares and then, yeah, we showed him. The other thing out of this that really stays with me, and I know I've eviscerated this fucking thing and that's fine, and I'm just, it just, like I said, it makes me cringe, it makes me laugh, it's all kinds of things. This is New York City complaining that someone stole their free agent. New York. For years and years and years, New York teams across all sports would throw their money, throw their market at every free agent coming out of Canada, out of Kansas, out of Tampa, out of God knows where, and lure them to the Big Apple. One guy leaves. Hockey is the only place, I'm sure. You know, you could talk about the Dallas Cowboys and some other things where teams are on the same level as New York, but hockey is the only one where they're somewhere bigger. He left to go, not only to go home, but to Toronto, the number one market in the sport, the biggest fan base in the sport, and with a great young team that is ready to contend. Maybe not this year, we'll see. Maybe this year. Could be. But I have no time for a single New York sports fan to complain that a free agent left when they have spent decades feasting on free agents leaving other teams to come to them. I'm not listening to anyone in New York play the small market card. I'm not listening to them play the underdog card. This is New York. One time it happens to you and you've lost your minds. Honest to God. Pajama boy.
Pajama boy.
Yeah. Come on. What are we doing here? You know what? That's probably about enough of that. I hope John Tavares goes in there. I hope the Leafs play their asses off for him on Thursday night. I hope he puts up a couple of goals, and I hope he is as smug as fuck about it. He won't be, but I would be. Man, I'd have a good time. I would go in there and play the heel to the nines, and I would not think of the children. The children who looked up to you. Just stop it. Give me a fucking break. New York City, the underdog. Yeah. As I mentioned, David Foote, I'm sorry that he has to come on after that little diatribe. We're going to bounce around, talk a little bit about the NHL trade deadline, some of the big winners and losers with our friend David Foote of CJBQ down in Belleville. We got that coming up right now.
Pajama boy.
So as promised, joined on the line by our pal David Foote down in Belleville of CJBQ, part of the Belleville Senators broadcast crew. How's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
No complaints up here. It's been a while since we've had you on the show, man.
Yeah, I feel like it was it when Belleville got the team?
We did one when Belleville got the team, and then I think we did one maybe just before like opening weekend maybe or something like that. So it has been a little while.
It's been a while.
Yeah, why don't you give us a quick update there on how that's going, how the community has kind of embraced their new pro hockey team?
I think it's still taking a little bit of time for people to get used to the American Hockey League and the big differences between pro hockey and junior hockey, but it's coming along. And I think the current 15-game point streak that the team is on and the fact that they're driving towards a Calder Cup playoff spot is going to make a big difference for people here moving forward. If they can get in, it would be a drastic change, I think, in how we'd see the fan base respond to this club.
Well, why don't we start there? As you know, the main reason we wanted to have you on was to talk a little bit of the NHL trade deadline. That ties nicely into what you're talking about here, as the Senators, the big club, were quite active, but that's going to result in some reinforcements, I would think, coming to Belleville. What did you think? Why don't we start with the Stone deal? Obviously, that's going to bring in Eric Brandstrom. They also obviously unloaded Dzingel and Matt Duchene. It's a total tear down there. So a couple of pieces coming. What did you think of what Ottawa did?
Well, I mean, it's going to make a difference for us at the American Hockey League level. I think it will be, we'll have to wait and see how it affects things at the NHL level, given all the picks that were brought in and considering the fact that there's no real step-in guy who can get in there and get things done right away in Ottawa. But for us in Belleville, I mean, it's going to make a big difference. First of all, Ottawa reassigned Drake Batherson, Logan Brown, Philip Schlappick, and Cody Golubev all back to Belleville as, paper assignments mainly. So they'll all be eligible if they end up going up and down to come back to Belleville for the playoffs. But they also picked up a speedy young Russian sniper, Vitaly Abramov, who we've only seen in one game and hadn't practiced with the team until this week. And he's got a lot of offensive upside to him. And then, obviously, the new defenseman that is being brought in Eric Brandstrom will hopefully provide a little bit more skill on the blue line. Not that Belleville or Ottawa really are lacking when it comes to young, talented defensemen, but anytime you can throw an AHL all-star into the mix at this time of the year, it's never a bad thing.
Yeah, I think, as you said, a couple of years down the road here for the big club, being able to put out Thomas Chabot and Eric Brandstrom as your number one and two left defensemen, not too shabby there.
No, not at all.
What else stood out to you? It was kind of an interesting day. There was a lot of kind of mediocre deals, as there always are. The one I think that was biggest for me, and I talked about it on this show a couple of weeks ago, I know Winnipeg was big in for Mark Stone, and Mark Stone is clearly a better player than who Winnipeg ended up getting, but I thought Kevin Hayes might be a better fit there. They had Brian Little playing between Line A and Ehlers, and there's just not been a ton of chemistry there. I thought Kevin Hayes is a guy who loves to distribute. If you can put him between those two young kids, I thought that was a really interesting deal. Hayes isn't as good as Mark Stone, but maybe he's a better fit. That was an interesting move for me. You know, what stood out to you as guys making big moves?
Well, I think the Granlund deal was kind of a big one for Fiala. I talked to a couple people who, didn't really put them kind of on the same level, but I think that's a pretty good deal for both teams. Brendan Gooley, which is not a big name, but was part of the Brandon Montour deal between Buffalo and Anaheim. I got to see Gooley play last weekend on the road in Rochester, and he's going to be a nice piece, I think, moving forward in that deal as well. You look at the thought that Winnipeg was going to get in on Mark Stone. I think Hayes will fit a little bit better as, more of a playmaker. He's a big guy. He can open up some space.
Yeah.
Stone, I think, would be, looked at to produce a little bit more. He's got to go into that kind of role. But you mentioned the guys that he'd be playing with, and I think he'd almost take a back seat to a guy like Brian Little. So I think Hayes is probably a smarter choice just for the sense that he's a big body. He can help open up some room for those other skilled guys up front for Winnipeg.
Yeah, first-round pick, and Brendan Lemieux was the return there, and I think there was a conditional pick as well. So it wasn't cheap, and he is a UFA, but they did this last year with Paul Stastny, and that worked out well. Not well enough to hold on to him, but we'll see as this one goes. I kind of like the move. Obviously, Columbus has gone all in. That was... I don't think I knew for sure. I didn't have a good handle on what they might be doing because there was a lot of talk that they may unload Panarin and Bobrovsky. Instead, they go in the other direction, bring in Duchene and Dzingel. And, I think I like it. They only have, I think, two draft picks left in June this year. Their third and their seventh, I believe it is. They have dealt all the rest of them away. But they've gone all in, and this is a franchise that's never won a playoff round. And I think they see a chance here to go deep in a division that isn't that strong this year, with the Islanders up top. Capitals haven't quite rebounded to what they are. The Pens are life and death to even make it. I kind of like it. It was ballsy, but they've gone all in.
Well, yeah, and I mean, top to bottom now, they've got a pretty good team there.
Yeah.
You look at, you add Duchesne and Dzingel into the mix with guys like Foligno and Boone Jenner and Seth Jones on the back end, just to name a few. And then, of course, Panarin up front, and they're pretty steady in goal. I like Columbus a lot moving forward. You get a lot of experience in Duchesne. And I think you get, with the two guys that come from Ottawa, you get a couple of guys that go from the basement, not quite to the penthouse, but right, at least to a team that's got a little bit more chance anyway. And sometimes that'll light a fire under some guys to go from, playing for nothing to now having to try to push into a playoff spot, because I think they're just outside of that eighth spot right now. And then, given the roster they have and how quickly they can get some chemistry together, there's certainly something there to watch for sure.
I think I'm a little surprised I didn't see more out of Calgary. They have sort of, I think a lot of teams or a lot of people picked them to kind of be around the playoffs. I don't know if anyone picked them to be leading the West this late in the season. Goaltending is a little bit of an issue there. I thought maybe they'd go find, even a Jimmy Howard or Keith Kincaid ended up in Columbus as sort of a, safety net type thing. Not a lot of star starters out there at this time of year, but, they bring in a depth defenseman in Falconbridge, I think is his name. Where did I put my notes here? But, they didn't do a ton. Anybody maybe catch your eye that you thought might do more? Obviously, you and I are both Leaf guys.
If we look at the Leafs, I wasn't really expecting them to do anything. Maybe try to get another defenseman, but that Kyle Dubas doesn't want to give much up at this point. So I think the Patan deal was pretty good considering what went the other way in Par Lindholm.
Yep.
As far as surprises go, I was a little bit surprised at the return for a guy like Michael Belzotto. Following him up through the Oshawa Generals when I was covering the Bulls, and this was one of the top prime guys, and now he goes for a sixth round pick.
Yeah.
In hindsight, knowing that he went for a sixth rounder, I almost would have liked to see Toronto try to make that deal.
Yeah, take a flyer on that. Bell. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why not a guy like that? But that was one of the bigger surprises for me, I think.
I like that move, as you said, for St. Louis, right? St. Louis is surging right now. They're really hot. They were a disaster in the first half. I'm not sure what they are right now, right? Like Buffalo at one point had like an 11-game unbeaten streak as well, and it hasn't translated into them looking like they're going to make the playoffs. I don't know which St. Louis team is for real, so I don't think I would have been totally in favor of them, sniffing around for some of these really big rentals, but a piece like Delzato who can come in, play in your bottom pair even, and just shore things up and continue to kind of help you take a run, but without shaking things up too bad. I kind of like that move for St. Louis.
Yeah, it's not a big expense, and it's a guy who, again, has that potential to be elite. He just hasn't really shown it of late. I think the Boston move to get Marcus Johansson from New Jersey is a good depth move for them, especially if a lot of people talk about how they're going to match up with the Leafs.
Yeah,
I think that was a good move as well. There was a lot of Dahlin going from Vancouver to San Jose. I mean, the Sharks just keep, picking guys here and there that have some upside.
Well, and they grabbed Gustav Nyquist from Detroit as well. So
yeah, he's all right.
Yeah, so they are going to be really, really deep up front. You mentioned the Bruins. They bring in Charlie Coyle as well, who is a pretty, on-the-nose Boston-type player, right? Big and physical.
Mm-hmm.
A little inconsistent offensively, but he's going to be, either their third-line center, I think, most of the time, or he can play a little higher on the right wing. But yeah, that they definitely did some nice work there to improve their depth a bit. I still like Toronto's forward depth more, but You know, you get into a tight series. Boston certainly got the edge on defense. I didn't love seeing them start to improve a little bit, but I was just happy we didn't see Stone end up there, to be honest with you.
Oh, that would have been worst case as a Leaf fan.
For sure, yeah. It would. You know what? I thought maybe you might see Chicago do a little bit more. They've been on a good run here for the last little while. They're sniffing around kind of the bottom of the playoffs. If they could try and get in and get another run out of that kind of aging core. Tampa, you know, is already destroying the league, but they always seem to find a way to make something happen. Last year it was Ryan McDonough. They pretty much, I think, stood totally pat this year. I don't know. There was a few different teams. Obviously, Vegas all in now with Stone, and they got Pacioretty back in the summer. They've locked up Marc-Andre Fleury. Like, it's a little bit older core, but I expected them to take a step back this year, and they have a little bit, but they are still right there, and they look damn good, to be honest with you.
You mentioned the age and experience that is on a team that's now in just its second season in the National Hockey League is pretty wild to look at. And the guys that are still there from last year, they have experience of going to a cup final now. So you certainly can't count Vegas out despite, like you say, the step back they've had.
Yeah, no, it's true. Montreal tinkers a little bit. They've kind of overhauled their fourth line. I think that was the right play for them. They're not ready to be going all in looking for big pieces, but if you can make yourself a little bit better, nothing wrong with that. The Penguins, I don't know what they're doing bringing in Eric Gudbranson. He's never really turned into what, you know, a lot of people thought he would. I believe he was a Frontenac, if I'm not mistaken.
And
he's sort of got this reputation still of being this mean, physical defender, and he's just not really even got the foot speed at this point to keep up with that, and they already have Jack Johnson. I'm not really sure what they're trying to do on their defense. This looks like it might be the year that the Penguins finally take a step back and maybe miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a shocker if they did. Gabranson, again, like, he's in that Delzotto kind of range where he has or had at least a whole bunch of potential and upside, and then just, you know, the game didn't translate for him from junior up to pro. He was okay in Florida for a couple of years, but then just hasn't been there. It's hard to think about the fact that the Penguins could miss the playoffs. Honestly, I mean, when was the last time we really had that as a serious conversation?
No, it's true. It's probably all the way back to before that 2009 Stanley Cup. I don't know. It's been quite a while with that core. The other one that stands out as it's turned into a bit of a disaster is Dallas goes out and picks up Zuccarello from the Rangers. And then in his first game, I believe it's his hand that he ended up breaking. He's out like 6 to 8 weeks. So that one's blown up in their face a little bit. So just before we kind of wrap up on the deadline portion of things here, who did you think maybe won the day or did the best job improving their team down the stretch here?
I think there was a lot, for the most part, a lot of depth added, but more so than the big top, A-plus skill guys. I think Vegas, obviously, for getting Mark Stone has to, and for what they gave up, again, nothing proven at this point, right? Guys with potential in Brännström and Lindbergh is okay, but they got back a quality proven player for a couple guys who have a lot to prove still. And then I think if you have to look at overall winners, when you can pick up both DeZingle and Matt Duchene in one deadline, Columbus has to be it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's Columbus. They, even though they're not sitting too comfortable right now, I think they're going to get in and they're going to upset some people here in the first couple of rounds. I know I've only got you for a couple more minutes, but as I said, I know you're a Leaf guy just as much as I am here, even though you're being torn a little bit down in Belleville between your professional life and your personal life. But they bring in Jake Muzzin a couple of weeks early. I think that's something that Leaf fans have to remember when talking about Toronto sort of standing pat. They sort of made their big move a little bit earlier. I got to tell you, I think this lineup is good enough to go deep in terms of the talent that they have. I just don't really love the way that it's being put out night to night. I don't love the pairings on defense, some things like that. Just, I think the lineup has the talent, but it needs to be optimized a little bit better. Do you see this as a team, I guess, that can get by Boston and take a deep run?
I think they can. We've seen them slip a little bit as of late and go on a couple of slides, but I'm always an optimist. I mean, I'm far from the person who says they're going to win the cup this year, because until I said to my fiance last night, actually, until they're at the point where there's 10 seconds left in the clinching game and they're up by two or three goals, I will not say it.
Yeah.
But I mean, on paper, they've got the team for sure. And I mean, you mentioned Muzzin, he's only been in a couple of weeks, and there is a lot of tinkering, I think, that can still be done. But Mike Babcock is good at that. I think, you know, he's good at identifying when things aren't working and figuring out how to make them work. And, I mean, look at them just over the last couple of games. They've been filling the net, and it's been a little bit tighter defensively than back at the beginning of the season when they were winning 6-5 and 5-4 and when they had to score 5-6 goals to win a hockey game. So I think the more that Muzzin settles in and the more that Mike Babcock is able to kind of tinker and get things set in stone down the stretch run, the better off they'll be.
Couldn't agree with you more on that front. We just kind of got to get it set and running a little more smoothly, and they have a good chance this year to go certainly deeper than they have in quite some time. I'm like you. I'm not going to believe it until I see it, and it's got to be real, real close to the finish line before I'll allow myself to believe it's possible. But I know we need to let you run. You've got things to do. You can catch David Foote on 800-CJBQ, and of course, as often as part of the Belleville Senators broadcast team on social media. He's Footy on the Air. You'll be able to find that on our social media feeds. We'll make sure you can find David easy. Thanks a lot for doing this, my man. Always appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime, Matt. Always around when you need me, for sure.
Always great to talk to our pal David Foote. Like I said, you can give him a follow on social media at Footy on the Air. Really appreciate him doing this. You can give us a follow at Tall Can Audio. Our Patreon stuff, we were always adding more and more bonus stuff over there, is at patreon.com/tallcanaudio. You can get some more from us and help keep the show up and running. We always appreciate that. We'll have more for you later on this week. Until then, my name's Matt Robinson. This has been another episode of Tall Can Sports. We'll see you all later.
We're not going to be fucking suck this year!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast.